Now, if you've traveled across the African continent, you'll know plenty of stories of travelers who've had to take illogical and time-consuming routes, some even via Europe or the Middle East when flying between African countries. Well, earlier this year, the African Union took its first big step towards freeing African skies. They launched the Single African Air Travel Market, SAATM. And the launch of the Single African Air Travel Market is part of the AU's Africa 2063 project, and they want to encourage pan-African integration. So it was a landmark announcement, no doubt about that. It was unveiled, in fact, by Rwandan President Paul Kagame, who is the new AU chair, and the aim is really to transform intra-Africa air travel to lower prices and to increase connectivity. So joining us on this issue is Chris Zwigenthal, and he's the CEO of the Airlines Association of Southern Africa. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. This is a very great and promising announcement, but there's also a lot of work that lies ahead.
Thank you, Azania, for the opportunity to join you. And yes, let me just make one point, and that is this is a culmination of probably a 30-year journey, because the whole process of trying to open up African skies and liberalize African skies started in 1988, believe it or not, with a Yamoussoukro declaration, and then it was followed by a Yamoussoukro decision. And unfortunately, through just a number of probably regulatory issues and getting implementation done, which is what you've just referred to, it's just never happened. So I think it was a very landmark decision by the African Union to relaunch the process and call it the Single African Aviation Transport Air Transport Market. As you rightly say, one thing is making the announcements, but the second thing is to actually get it implemented.
Yes.
So there is a lot of work that lies ahead.
Absolutely. So the initiative so far has 23 signatories. Am I correct?
That's correct.
But
yes,
we have 32 AU members who are yet to come on board.
That's correct. Look, in terms of the previous one that I referred to, the Yamoussoukro decision, there were 44 signatories. There were the other states, the other 10 were obviously undecided about joining the full initiative. So we just hope, for example, as a first step, that those 10 that were signed up to the Yamoussoukro decision will then join as soon as possible. And so the bigger the group, the better.
Yes, it's very disappointing that things have moved at the slow pace that they have, and there's still countries who are undecided, because I think that Yamoussoukro decision makes a great case for why this is necessary. And we've seen it in territories like Europe. They've managed to bring down prices. They've managed to stimulate their economies because it's more affordable for people to travel across different countries.
Yes, well, look, the whole point at the moment is that, for example, you've got Africa, intra-African travel, and African travel is only responsible for 3% of the global travel, whereas we've got 12% of the world population and, say, 15% of the landmass. So there's a huge opportunity. If you look at the flight pictures of flights across Africa, across Europe and across the United States, it's almost like there's no gaps in the flight paths or the routes that are traveled. But you can, if you look at a map of Africa with the scheduled flight routes, you would definitely see lots of gaps. So there's huge opportunity, and you refer to it in your opening, where people are still flying via Europe to get between two points in Africa. I think that's starting to improve with a lot of east-west African travel taking place, so between Ethiopia, Kenya, towards the West African side. But that's improving, but there's still a huge opportunity where we actually have to get the intra-African markets growing, and additional frequencies between various markets, and even opening up new markets between various points.
Yes. The benefits are immense, as I was describing, as laid out in that decision. But just take us through some of them.
Well, the benefits, obviously, from a perspective of we wanting to increase frequencies. At the moment, let's take the fact that agreements and routes are agreed through bilateral air service agreement between states. And in some cases, there's restrictions. In other words, you'll have an agreement between states for, say, daily frequencies. And obviously, when you want to increase frequencies, you have to go through a further set of consultations. And you have to get a new agreement to increase the frequencies. So the intention of the Single African Air Transport Market is that you open up between those agreeing states to get complete unlimited frequencies between those states, and obviously then also between various points within those states if you've got more international markets within the area. So you want to grow the frequencies. And obviously, the importance of that is that it will give increase the ability of airlines in Africa, some of them are going through quite tough times, to be able to get an increased level of service, increase their critical mass, reduce the cost, and then obviously be able to offer much more competitive fares so that people get opportunities to travel to more destinations within Africa.
Yes, yes. So how difficult has it been to get to a point where we work under a common regulatory framework?
It's been quite a journey. I think the probably the first step that after this now is that to really start looking at putting together competition regulations, because obviously you've got airlines in Africa that are at various levels of strength. And obviously the smaller airlines would be concerned about having a large airline, being abusing its dominance, for example, in a particular market. So we have to, one of the first steps is to concretize a lot of competition regulations, and then also to put dispute resolution mechanisms in place so that if there are problems between airlines or between states, that there's a mechanism within Africa to be able to deal with that. Mm. We did put some regulations in place with the Yamoussoukro decision in the early 2000s, but obviously without a formal continental-wide situation, that continental-wide implementation, that you could not apply those regulations within the total of Africa. It was in the SADC region and the COMESA region at that stage. So there's a lot of work to be done, and then a lot of implementation provisions have to be put in place. And to set the ground rules according to which this is going to work, we don't want to have a situation where we agree to open the skies within Africa, but then you have states trying to put exceptions and saying, okay, I'm happy, but you can't do this or you can't do that. So that's my personal view. It's just a situation that you want to be able to have the ground rules and the reciprocal benefits that happen in terms of value as well as in terms of opportunity open to all the airlines to be able to operate in this market.
So the airline industry, just looking at it closely, I was looking at the top 10 African airlines, and there was a time when the top 10 had three South African airlines. It was SAA, Mango, and Kulula, but the picture has changed. SAA sitting in second place, and SAA continues to lead, even though dealing with the potential bankruptcy and always needing government bailouts and so on. But airlines will generally then have to improve on their service levels if they want to compete, because then the big ones like Egypt Air, Ethiopian Airlines, Kenyan Airways, Tunis Air, SAA will continue to dominate if we don't take care of the competition rules, and of course, give the smaller ones an opportunity to improve.
Yeah, look, the South Africa is still the largest aviation market in Africa. Obviously, as you mentioned, I think Ethiopian is now the largest airline based on its frequencies and its aircraft fleet size. Mm. But we've got a very, very strong aviation market in South Africa. We've got 10 scheduled airlines that fly around South Africa to transport passengers. Many of those are operating in the SADC region. It's only South African Airways that is obviously flying outside of the SADC region. If you could take places to like Kenya and to Lagos in Nigeria and some other points there. But I think you're going to see expansion about from other airlines, South African scheduled carriers into Africa. And obviously they will hopefully take advantage of the expanded market through the single African air transport market.
So what's the way forward? There seem to be very clear deadlines and milestones that lie ahead.
Yeah, look, I think that we have to, we certainly from an association perspective offered our assistance to work with the African Union, with the African Civil Aviation Commission, and obviously African Airlines Association and IATA as well. And I think some of the work that we need to do is to get a proper strategic plan in place and an implementation plan in place and to itemize all the various areas that have to be done. I think a lot of that has been done already, but we need to, say, take some of these issues such as the competition regulations, dispute resolution mechanisms, and actually take action and get these in place and get them approved so that we can actually have a basis from which we can start to actually do the implementation of the single market.
Yes, and I'm sure your work is made a little bit easier because the AU claims that it's also on the cusp of agreeing on a free trade deal, as well as the continental free trade area for goods and services to be launched by the end of 2018.
Yeah, that's something that obviously we very much look forward to, as well as when we hope that all the the respective governments and states will also open up and simplify the visa regimes as well, because to get passengers around, and it would be great to be able to simplify all our immigration regulations and all the visa regimes around Africa to implement and obviously open up more opportunities and make it much easier for us to travel at short notice, for example,
instead
of having to get visas.
Well, Chris, fingers crossed, because this is way overdue. As you said, this idea has been on the table since 1998. We just need the will and the vision to be able to commit and see the vision around this Yamoussoukro decision.
Yes, and fantastic, yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Pleasure.
That was Chris Sugenthal, and he's the CEO of the Airlines Association of Southern Africa. Well, the pursuit of Pan-Africanism by Pan-Africanists towards a more integrated and united continent seemingly is slowly taking flight. It's slowly taking shape. But we need, of course, much more concerted effort, especially around things like visas and getting more countries to come on board and finalizing this regulatory framework. Jeez, it's like, come on, guys. How long has this conversation been going on?